This is Rod Ross. This morning, October the 11th, 1983, I shall be speaking with Betty L. Barrett, B-A-R-R-E-T-T, with the Office of Policy Development. We shall be speaking in room 415 of the old Executive Office Building in Washington, D.C. Betty, what was your first connection with Ronald Reagan?
My first connection was probably when I went out to interview for a job at the headquarters in Los Angeles in 1979. I went because I had followed his career in California, and when I knew he was running for president, thought that he would be a great one, and I wanted to offer some help.
What was your background that you had followed his career?
I'm from California.
Want to give a little biographical background of yourself?
Well, I lived in California only until I was about 15 and then moved to Washington, D.C., but kept up with things going on in California as I was quite fond of it. And I've lived back and forth there since moving here several times, but always seemed to end up back here because I was married to an Air Force man. But did follow Ronald Reagan's career, as I said, and I just thought he did great things for the state of California and knew that he would for the whole country.
Who in 1979 did you interview with?
The gal's name was Marcia Rose, who was an office manager there, and I just felt that I wanted to work in the campaign doing whatever I could, and was offered a job working with Buchanan, who was the treasurer at the time. I came back to Washington. I was working with the Reserve Officers Association on the Hill, and I came back and sort of had second thoughts about moving back, pulling up stakes and moving back to California. So I called and said I had wanted to think about it a little longer, and two or three months went by, and I decided that was what I wanted to do. So I called the people, Marcia, at the headquarters, and told them that I had decided I would come out to California after all. I left the job I had been in for almost 10 years. And as I was packing to leave for California, and in fact, my last day on my job, I had a call from Sherry Nolan, who had taken over Marcia's job. Marcia left and went, I don't remember where she went, into some other job. And Sherry said, don't do anything because we'll be moving to Arlington, Virginia in about 2 weeks. So I just waited and took 2 weeks off. And as soon as they moved into the headquarters, I again went and talked to Otto Wolf, who was their administrative person in the headquarters in Arlington, and
is that O-T-T-O?
O-T-T-O.
W-O-L-F.
W-O-L-F-E, I believe. I'm not really sure. I don't remember. And anyway, I gave Otto another copy of a resume, filled out an application, and the next morning I had a phone call from Vern Orr, and he interviewed me and hired me the following day, which was around the 1st of July, 1980.
Okay, so you worked with Vern Orr, O-R-R, or Vernon Orr?
It's Vern, V-E-R-N-E.
Okay. What was the Reagan headquarters in Arlington like? Can you describe both the building, the street it was on, as well as physically the interior of the building, as well as from your perspective, organizationally, who was there?
It was on 901 South Highland Street. I don't think I'll ever forget it. It was one of the best times of my life. It was kind of an old building, just an old office building with, four stories. And when I first started there, there were probably about 10 people in the building. It was just opening. And Vern took me around to see all of the other offices, which had absolutely nothing in them yet, and said by the time the campaign is over, the building will be full and we'll have about 400 people here, which seemed quite unbelievable at the time. But as a matter of fact, I believe when I looked at my last roster, phone roster, we had over 450 people when the campaign was over. As far as staffing, they had a volunteer office that did virtually everything that needed to be done, and it was just a typical campaign headquarters, a press office, very, very busy, traveling, as you might imagine. I was on the fourth floor. Vern was a controller, decided how the money was to be spent, along with Baby Cannon, who was the treasurer. We worked very closely together. And our offices were on one side of the fourth floor. The other side was what we called Heavy Hall. And that housed, it had a governor's office. He never was there. But they did have an office for him. And of course, Mr. Casey, who was the campaign chairman. Jim Baker, Mike Deaver, Ed Meese, all had offices on what we called Heavy Hall.
Heather Hall.
Heavy Hall.
And what was Buchanan's first name?
Actually, her name is Angela Buchanan. Okay. She later became treasurer of the United States.
Okay. Do you remember who were the 10 people or so that were in the building when you first came?
No, a couple of receptionists and people answering phones. Baby Cannon was there with one or two other people. And Vern and Otto Wolf, who was administrative person. And I believe Ed Meese was there with two secretaries at the time.
Was the campaign actually conducted out of Arlington, or was the camp real direction of the campaign wherever the candidate was?
I think a little of both. It was actually, everything was run from the campaign headquarters, but we had people who went with the governor and flew with him on his airplane. And I would say out of the Arlington headquarters office, though.
For the initial campaign, was it mostly Californians and ex-Californians who were there?
Well, of course, they had a headquarters office for quite some time at the airport, at the LA airport in Los Angeles. And most of the people there seemed to be Californians or people who had worked with him when he was governor. And most of the people from that office came out to work with us in the campaign. And then they did hire quite a few local people also.
Was yours a paid position?
Yes, it was, although I offered to volunteer.
What proportion of the 400 or so that were finally on board were paid positions versus volunteers?
I would say probably 375 or 400 were probably paid people.
Okay. Are there any special highlights that you can think of during the campaign days that affected you?
My most exciting three things were the debate with President Carter, because I felt that the governor did such a great job of it. I was very excited about it. Then we were very disappointed. One day the governor was supposed to come by the headquarters to say hello to his staff. And in fact, that was the day before the Carter debate. And he was not able to make it due to some other commitments. And we were all greatly disappointed. But since we were also disappointed, they provided buses for us and drove us out to the airport where he was leaving. I believe it was Dulles. And we got to meet him there. And of course, election night was the other. But the whole thing was very exciting. I mean, every minute of every day was very, it's just a very exciting time.
Do?
Well, being a secretary, mostly a lot of typing and filing and phone answering and setting up meetings and appointments. But Vern was very good at keeping me informed of what was going on, and it was just, you know, a lot of things were exciting.
What did the election mean for you as far as continuing to work the next day or the next week, and what was going to be the transition?
When Vern Orr left about 3 days before election night to be in California, to USF, California, and went out to vote, and to be at the hotel out there on election night where the staff gathered, he said to me, pack up all of our boxes, and we have an office, a transition office, and you will be moving them over there the next day after the election. And I said, that sounds very confident. And he said, oh, well, we're going to win, and we're going to win big. Of course, the day after the election, we sort of straggled in late to the office and had a celebration, a luncheon celebration, and packed up everything and did, in fact, get ready to move, and moved in the next day or two to the transition office.
What was that address again?
The headquarters?
Yeah, the transition.
I thought I would never forget it, but I have forgotten it.
That was here in downtown Washington,
yes,
a couple blocks.
17th Street, no, M Street, 17, I believe it was 1725 M Street, something like that.
What kind of building was that?
Just an old office building. Had 9 floors, I believe.
How of those floors, how many were?
We had everything.
The whole building, all 9 floors. What was, well, I suppose I should be asking, what was Vern Orr doing in the transition?
He worked in an administrative capacity in the transition. Took in a lot of resumes, which he looked through before they went to personnel, and just handled a lot of correspondence and general administrative duties with setting up the offices there.
Are there any particular offices, setting them up, that come to mind through your involvement?
Not other than ours. We shared one large office with smaller offices around the fringes with Ed Meese and Peter McPherson, and I guess just the three of us had one big office there.
Which floor was
so
this?
So that was again on the fourth floor.
What kind of hours were you working?
Pretty much about 7 to 7, sometimes a little later.
5 days a week, 6 days a week?
Pretty much 5 days a week. I do come in a few weekends, not a whole lot. And that was the same in the campaign, pretty much the same.
The same hours also?
Pretty much the same, sometimes later.
Is there anything that stands out in your mind during your transition days?
A visit to the transition headquarters by the newly elected president, president-elect. In fact, it was his first visit to Washington since the election, and he did come by the headquarters, which was very exciting for us.
Then, after the inauguration, you said you stayed with Vern Orr?
I worked for about 2 days here in the White House with Peter McPherson, who was acting White House counsel while Vern Orr was waiting to be confirmed as Secretary of the Air Force. And then, in fact, I think I've given you the wrong date here. I think that should be March 1 instead of February. I worked with Vern at the Pentagon from, the very end of January, like the very last day or two of January, until the 1st of March. And I had been at one time, this is kind of personal, but I had been married once to a military man and then had worked for 10 years in a military organization. And I'd really hoped to get away from that. And so Vern Orr was delighted when he became Secretary of the Air Force, but I had wanted to stay with him and I wasn't too enthused about the military again. But I did go because I liked him so, and we got along so well. And I went and stayed for a while. But then I was offered a job here in policy development and decided to take that.
Okay, and who was that job with?
That was with John McClary. He was a senior policy advisor and was executive secretary for the Cabinet Council on Food and Agriculture.
What responsibilities did you have when you came here?
They were secretarial again, setting up Cabinet Council meetings for him. Kind of typing and general secretarial duties, but mostly setting up meetings.
Just in terms of grade pay structure and benefits here and working in the White House, it's your position was not civil service, correct?
No, it is not.
Was there a equivalent civil service ranking that in effect the personnel office provided so that people, even though they weren't under civil service, had parallel benefits?
They, for me, I don't know what they do for other people. For me, they matched what, when I was with Vern, I was a GS 11, and they matched the pay to that, even though I didn't actually have a civil service rating.
Did you end up having the same government holidays that?
Yes.
And the same health benefits that
yes.
you would have had?
Yes.
Was there anything other than lack of job security that you didn't have not being having civil service protection?
Having only worked civil service for about a month, I'm really not sure. I'm not too familiar with that, but I not that I can think of.
So this was a Jim Johnson personnel office here?
Or Jim Rogers? I don't know who I didn't really talk to. I talked to the Office of Policy Development administrative person, who's Judy Johnston, and I went through her really most of what I did.
So in term in filling out paperwork?
Went through her.
Okay. And what were your responsibilities here during your early days with OPD?
Secretarial, setting up Cabinet Council meetings, and just general secretarial duties.
For Peter McClory's...
John McClory.
That's right.
Peter McPherson, John McClory.
What kind of office surroundings did he have? If somebody has never been to the old executive office building, never seen a hallway, never...
They should. It's quite beautiful.
Do you want to give your impressions?
You know, one of the things, this may sound silly, but one of the things that I love about the old executive office building, it is so beautiful, but, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but on rainy days, I've meant to bring a camera in, and someone should take a picture. On rainy days, you can come in, and it will be raining and kind of gloomy outside, and for some reason, I don't know why, I never figured out exactly why people do this, except it's a place to put an umbrella to dry off. But you can look down this long, beautiful corridor and see all the beautiful shades of different umbrellas, the colors of the different umbrellas, open in the hallway while they dry off. And that always impressed me so much. It was always so beautiful and kind of cheered me up. And you come in out of the rain and you look down this long, long corridor and see the umbrellas on either side in beautiful colors. That doesn't really describe the building, though. I don't know how I would describe it. Other than
I
being
like
very
comment.
Old, very stately.
What about the offices? Were they high ceiling, low ceiling?
Very high ceiling. I don't know how you describe the woodwork around the doors, but very old, everything very old.
What about the status of the office equipment? Did you use data processors for computers coming in?
I had a digital word processing machine, which I like very much. It's very good.
Did all the secretaries with OPD have?
Yes.
Such?
Yes.
Did the state-of-the-art equipment remain the same during your what was it, 2 years? Two and a half years, 3 years?
Pretty much, yes.
What about filing? Did you have much things that you filed in the office, or did most of the things, did you send them down to central files?
I filed most things in my office wherever I was, mostly at my boss's preference.
How much?
And, as they got a little older, I began to weed things out as I could and send them down to central files.
Quantity-wise, you see, how much was there in the office with you? Two filing cabinets worth, or was it much more?
Oh, more like about four. They're very large offices, and yeah, I'd say about four filing cabinets, large ones.
Did you have much recourse to recall things from central files that you had sent?
No, because the three people I have worked with like to have things right there, and we found that it worked well for us to have them there until, as I said, they were a little older, even as much as a year old, I would start to weed things out that I knew I would not use or felt I wouldn't use and send them to central files. We did have to recall things occasionally, and we got them, you know, all right.
Do you want to go over again who the three people here in this building were that you worked for and the dates?
John McClary from March 1st, 1981. We were in room 227. In the old executive office building, and John left the 1st of March to go back to Vermont, where he was from, to run for Senate. And at that time, Ed Gray, who had an office in the second floor West Wing, called and asked if I would come work with him, which I did. Ed left the 1st of September, 1982. Let's see, March 1, 1982 is when I went over to work with Ed. And then he left September 1982 to go back to California, at which time Bob Carlson in Office of Policy Development, who has room 231, it used to be the Secretary of War's office, I believe.
Right. Yeah, Secretary of Navy's office was the Vice President's office. State Department Secretary, room 208, and that's been restored.
That was his office before he moved to 231.
Not sure. Ed Rollins and the political office, are they one floor down?
Yes.
Okay, right. Maybe that was Nixon's hideaway office.
That was, yes.
Did you actually work in the old Secretary of War's office?
I believe that is the office. Is that not 231?
Yeah,
I believe
I'm not sure whether
is.
The office has two. This is as you go in the door, then would be to the left?
Yes. I sat right outside that part that was the Secretary of War.
No, the Vice President has restored, or not restored, at least remodeled the office so that it looks something as it did from its early days. For Bob Carlson's office, is the rug on the floor or is the parquet floor?
No, the rug is on the floor. But it does show some of the flooring around it, which is quite nice.
You know, whether it's the same kind of parquet that's been exposed in the Vice President's office?
Yes.
Has there been any attempt to have a kind of 19th century grandeur for the office, or does it look pretty much like?
No, it looks pretty much like.
And that office would look onto 17th Street?
Yes, it does. It has a balcony there.
Okay. When Ed Gray went back to California, did he end up boxing up all of his files and simply sending them to central files?
Yes, we did that.
So it wasn't the case that he boxed them up and took them to California?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, how does it happen that you say that you're going to be leaving the White House and going where?
To the Federal Home Loan Bank Board. Ed Gray came back as chairman of the bank board.
Had you been interested in leaving the White House?
No.
was it simply an offer that you couldn't refuse?
That's right, that's right. In fact, Ed's been asking me to come over there for several months, well, actually since he got back here in March. And yes, he did finally make an offer that I couldn't refuse.
Are you going to be, you know, private secretary, executive secretary?
Yes, executive secretary.
And for somebody who's not familiar with the term executive secretary, what all does that involve? What do you expect it's going to involve?
Well,
the job you're going to?
Pretty much what I've always done, which is set up meetings for that person and pretty much keep their calendar and screen their phone calls and refer them around to someone else if I think someone else can handle it. Kind of their protector almost.
Of the three people that you worked for here, did you find that any of the three operated much different than the other two in terms of not returning telephone calls or hoping that an assistant would be able to do mundane things?
I think they all three were pretty good about returning phone calls, but I think I tried to handle things that I could handle without them having to, which I guess is what a good secretary should do. But they were all good about returning phone calls if it was necessary for them to do that.
Are there any dominant impressions that you have gained in the couple of years that you've been here that surprised you, you know, from the outside looking in?
No, I can't really think of anything. I didn't know what to expect, really, but it's been a very exciting time for me and a privilege to work at the White House, and especially for President Reagan. Because I think he's doing wonderful things not only for our country but for the world. And it's difficult for me to leave, in fact. You know, I still have this for one more day, my White House pass, before they punch a little hole in it and I won't be able to just come whizzing in. And I think that's going to be difficult for me because I had thought I would stay here until President Reagan was not president anymore. But I'll only be across the street. I have lots of friends here, so I'm sure I can still come back. I just feel I've had the privilege to be a part of history. In fact, I've sort of been keeping a little journal myself, and I am sometimes surprised now when I look back, read back to campaign, what was happening in the campaign, and how much I've learned about politics. And it's been a real privilege. I hope that someday my grandchildren will read the things I wrote and will have the pictures I have of the president and be proud to have had a grandmother who worked in this administration.
For OPP, how much of a sense of separateness from the White House staff was there? None at all or a fair amount?
No, I don't think so at all. I felt that way in the beginning because being in the EOB, you're a little out of what's going on in the White House. But then when I worked in OPD in the West Wing, it didn't seem like there was a separation at all. And I don't really feel that way now at all, that there is. It's just that if you're in the executive office building rather than in the West Wing, I don't think that you feel quite as much a part of what's happening.
So you think there would be more a feeling about being in this building as opposed to being in OPD, which
right.
You know, organizationally is not in the mainstream.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that we've covered most of the points that I would like to cover. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the record?
No, I don't think so.
Let me ask one final thing. If somebody, you know, 10 years from now was trying to track you down for a follow-up on certain points, is there an organization that would keep tabs of you, you know, an alumni group? Or
we do have, yes, we have a Reagan-Bush campaign group, alumni group, that puts out through Carol McCain's office, through the visitor's office. They put out a spring and winter roster, try to keep up with the campaign people. Name and address, home address and phone number, as well as work address and phone number. They've been doing a good job of it so far.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
This is a postscript to tape and talking with Betty Barrett. She mentioned having gone to the Albasta Committee regarding the Carter briefing materials. Who contacted you? How did you end up going? Where did you go? Who asked you what?
Mr. Clark contacted me. I don't remember his first name.
Was he on Congressman Albasta's committee?
Yes. They didn't tell me why they called me, other than that my name had come up a few times, and they didn't tell me where my name came up or who mentioned it. Mr. Clark called and asked if I would come over. They have an office in Annex 2 over on the hill. And they, House Annex 2, I believe it was. And they just asked me what I did, who I worked for, how long I worked in the campaign, and had me draw a diagram of the office space. And then they showed me some papers, some memos, and asked if I had ever seen them before, which I hadn't. Asked what we had done with our files. Just general questions like that. I really did not know anything and had not seen any of the briefing materials or anything. But evidently what they do, well, for instance, they asked in my office in the campaign if there was anyone else in the office with me, and there was. Sherry Nolan was with me as an assistant in my office, just the two of us working for Vern. And so I would assume that they probably will call Sherry. That's how they get a name. So someone else I worked with probably gave them my name.
When you mentioned they, you know, up on the hill, was it you were just talking with Mr. Clark, or were there several people
there was
present?
There were two people, and it was not, Mr. Clark was the person who originally called me, and I don't remember the other person's name now, the one who I talked with. And then they had, I think it was an attorney there also.
Was it just sitting around, you know, a table? Or
yes,
or?
Just sitting around a table in an office.
How long did you spend on the hill talking with them?
About 45 minutes.
Did they have, you know, either friendly or an antagonistic attitude?
They were friendly in the beginning. Well, I would say they were friendly, but they seemed to get a little annoyed because I didn't remember very much. But as I was saying to you when I started to leave, it's been 3 years, and you go on to a new position, and you have a lot of that, what you're doing, on your mind, and you don't really remember a lot of details of what happened 3 years ago.
Yes.
It's something really special.
Has the Albasta Committee had any follow-through with, you know, your conversation?
No.
Do you know other people who are working in the campaign headquarters that have been contacted?
Oh, quite a few. In fact, I asked them if they were contacting everyone, and they said no, it just seemed like it. But no, I don't think they would. It didn't sound to me from what he said that they were going to contact everyone.
Okay, do you have any feelings about the committee? Have you ever talked with Vern Orr about, do you know whether he was contacted by the committee?
No.
Anything to add on that score?
No, not really.
Okay, well, signing off for a second time then.